Welcome to the Forbes India Cover Story podcast series in association with theindicars.com. My name is Abhishek. This issue is about small town founders who, in the words of Forbes India's Rajiv Singh, built and rebuilt their lives on the fearless foundation of big dreams and hard work. Joining me on the call is Rajiv himself to talk about his package. Hi, Rajiv. Thanks a lot for joining in as always.
Hey, Abhi. Thanks a lot. Pleasure is mine.
So let's start with an interesting phrase from your overview letter where you talk about small town mentality and how you hail that while talking about all the founders that you've written about. What is small town mentality, which was once a bit of a taunt, as you write?
Oh, absolutely. So 20 years back, this was the most dominant taunt and jibe that you would hear people from cities commenting on the guys from small towns and villages. And then basically what it meant was you are narrow-minded, you are not open to adapting to whatever environment you are thrust into. And the risk-taking appetite is not huge. So all the negatives were embodied in this term called small town mentality, basically showing that how narrow-minded you are. Now imagine, who would have thought 20 years down the line, the same thing would be flipped 180 degree and this would become a badge of honor. What exactly does small town teaches you, which you don't realize it, but it's that you always had it and unintentionally, unconsciously, you have now started using it because you had it. Simple. So frugal mindset, because most of the founders or most of the guys coming from small town, they are deprived of the luxuries of big cities. Parents are either, working in government offices or small organizations. So they're always trapped for that cash. Once you live your life in that trapped environment, you learn to value money more than other guys, right? That's one big thing. Second big thing, you also know that the hunger to succeed or the fire in the belly, you can't douse that because you don't have anything. So you become fearless. What if you fail? Because you've already failed so many times while growing up, right? You might have failed in your studies, you might have failed in X, Y, Z, but you can't stop. There is no option of stopping because success is the only thing. It might take time, but once that crippling thing of which we call fear, when the fear is out, and once you become fearless, that's the time when you reach your potential. This is what small town does.
And your stories illustrate exactly this. In fact, the overview letter talks about where these founders have failed initially and bounced back. And you give examples. For instance, you talk about PC Mustafa of ID Fresh Food. Most of our listeners perhaps would have at least bought one dosa batter from the outfit, which didn't do as well as they had imagined when they started out to disrupt an unorganized sector.
See, before we get into Mustafa's story, one thing I would like to add as disclaimer is that the intent of entire Forbes India or mine was not to say that founders from small town are better than their city counterparts. It's not this versus that. It's not apple to apple or apple versus orange comparison. It's like all fast bowlers are awesome, but Bumrah is special, right? It's not Bumrah is best of all time. But what there is something in Bumrah that makes it special. Is it the way he delivers his Yorkers? Is it the way he, in such a short run-up, he generates that kind of pace? So there is something about Bumrah that makes him special and magical. Wrist spinners are special. They are mesmerizing. It's a treat to watch them, to say that they are better than the off-spinners or leg-spinners. So similarly, the entire package is not saying that small-town founders are best of the lot. But what we are trying to find out, what makes them special? What is that quality which makes them stand out in a cluttered market? And this Mustafa had it. This guy failed miserably, had a tough childhood. Father used to work as a farm laborer. Money was always an issue. Standard 6, he failed. He dropped out of the school. He didn't want to go back and he didn't go back for a year. And one fine day after a year, he was spotted by a teacher in the farm. Who actually persuaded him to go back to school. And after that, the rest is history. And then the ID Fresh story. Idli Badda started with Idli Badda. The investors freaked out. It's not a pizza business or a fancy burger business. idli dosa batter. Who would have thought that somebody would build or make a brand out of this commodity? I was talking to so many VCs and so many experts, industry experts, and one thing comes out very clearly that what also makes people from small towns and villages special is they have a knack of spotting consumer insight. You know, it might take you time, but what you will think in terms of service or product will have a better product market fit than other guys. There was always a need for a ready-made, fresh batter. Nobody spotted because nobody could see an opportunity in it, right? It's an unsexy thing, unfancy thing. Nobody knew the scale and there was no precedent. It was not like I am building an Uber in India. I'm not Uber of India or Amazon of India. You don't have a precedent, right? For example, if you look at Attenberg, who would have thought that fans, people have always been talking about fans, but who would have thought that why not make fans smart and communicate in terms of how much money you can save? The best part of saving money from buying fans is not a city mentality. Anybody in city would never think of that they will save 50 rupee, 20 rupee by buying a different fans. Most of them buy fans for the way they look, fancy fans, right? Utilitarianism is something that people from such places are blessed with.
Yes, and Attenberg, you write that their USP, so to speak, was that the fans consumed 28 watts of electricity, which was 65% less than those of the other brands, which is a big, money saver. That's something that people, even I would look for it, even though if I'm in the city, if it reduces my electricity consumption.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is what I'm saying. There has always been a need. It's not that there was no need for a idli dosa batter. There was no need for a smart fan that helps you save electricity bill. Nobody spotted it. There are guys who have got great degrees from IIT, IIMs and all kind of Ivy League institutions you can talk about. There's an elephant in the room, guys, and nobody spotted it. These guys made most of spotting that.
True that. And you briefly talked about they are very good at consumer insights. I think another example is that of Vishal Jindal of Biryani by Kilo. I liked the part where there was some research. Obviously, everybody would do research before getting into a business of this kind. But he chose biryani because he wanted something that could be easily delivered without losing its flavor. And what else, Rajiv? Looks like it shouldn't have been a snack. It needed to be a fulfilling meal because that's what most of us like so that we get value for our buck.
And also if you need a wide market, for example, if you look at the pizza and burger market in India, I'm sorry, they might have an all India presence, but more than 75% of the business comes from top seven cities. It's a reality because in cities, people look for snacks. They don't look pizza as a meal, right? They don't look burger as a meal. What makes biryani the biggest selling item across the country? Because it's a meal. And it doesn't lose its taste because if you're packing a pizza and then pizza Domino's might deliver in 30 minutes and it might try its best to keep the taste intact. But by and large, the pizza and burger, once it reaches your home, it loses that crunch. Biryani doesn't. That's the best thing about biryani.
Have you tried it, Biryani by Kilo?
I've tried Biryani by Kilo. I've tried Biryani Blues. I've tried a couple of other brands. They are doing a decent job, but still a lot has to be done in terms of taste, I would say. They are on it and they will crack it, definitely. And this guy also had this ambition of building an international brand out of biryani. So now he's planning to go overseas. North India is still, the biggest market when it comes to biryani brands. But when you come to South, you have so many regional, local players and they are the real rivals because they adapt to the local taste. No. Can biryani be one size fits all, like a pizza or a burger? This is a big question. And then if the guy cracks it, because pizza guys manage to do it, right? Burgers guy manage to do it. But biryanis are different because people are already used to biryani. In India, people were not used to burgers and pizzas. But if this guy manages to crack that one size fits all, or who knows, he might have multiple variants for catering to regional palates.
India probably has more than 100 kinds of rice going around. There itself lies the variety, not to mention the masalas that go in. Whereas when it comes to the likes of McDonald's or Burger King or even Good Flipping Burgers, so it's quite standardized, not so much in biryani. It all depends on the local chef who might do a good job. Whereas Vishal Jindal has to care about standardizing the taste because if you're ordering biryani from, let's say, Mumbai or Delhi, it needs to taste the same, and then have the figure out ways to have local variations as well.
You know, but here is what I was talking about, the sense of taking a contrarian bet. If you look at the other side, people are definitely used to a regional taste, but just because they are used to regional taste, there is a massive opportunity to give them something different which they have not tried. And this might work. That's why taking a contrarian bet. That's why taking a risky bet. It's not a safe bet, right?
Yeah.
It might flop.
Talking about those taking a contrarian bet, what were Ankit Garg and Ramalinge Gowda thinking when they launched WakeFit in March 2016 and said, we will not have a touch and feel product, but perhaps it was online, was it? How did people are used to sitting on the mattress before choosing one? Their model was slightly different.
Yeah, so this they disrupted by starting to sell online. And who sells mattresses online? The turning point for them was something which, again, it's ingrained in their small town DNA, I would say, which is trust. Now, tell me a high ticket size item. Who gives it for 30 days, 10 days, 15 days for free trial? And then no questions asked return. It was a huge gambit. They would have gone horribly wrong. But they trusted the consumers. Now, there is somebody who is entrusting a high ticket size item to them and saying, hey, guys, feel free to use, return, and whichever way form you return, we won't ask. Just tell me your experience. How did you like it? That changed the game. And from where does this trust come from? If you go to a smaller town or villages, trust is such a conspicuous thing, right? You find it everywhere. Now, cut to city, it's hard to trust. Who do you trust? That's the question you ask. Can you trust your neighbor? Can you trust your friend? Can you trust your colleague? So trust is such a premium thing in cities. In small town, it's a given thing. You don't even care about it. You don't even think about it.
And there are quite a few other stories as well, right? Where you talk exactly about that they are doing something that no other player has done before, even if those players may have been behemoths. You have humble stories like that of Shailesh Kumar, who went on to build a 150 crore rupees logistics company, where he grew up in a one room house with five occupants. He was a delivery boy at Flipkart once upon a time, among other exploits, going on to do what he
absolutely
did.
Absolutely. From a delivery boy to becoming the biggest logistics partner of Flipkart. Imagine.
Read that one, the story of Shailesh Kumar. There's more from iZego, Alok Bajpai and Rajneesh Kumar. And then there is Office Banao and Chalo, which is a bus tracking and ticketing platform, and a lot more. So Rajiv, I'm sorry, we may not have time to speak about all of the stories, but hopefully we've given just about enough to the readers to pick this issue up to read them all.
It's like whetting the appetite. Now for the main course, they have to pick up the issue and read all.
Yes, please. So urging all our listeners to do that. Thanks again, as always, Rajiv, for your time on this podcast.
Thanks a lot, Abhishek. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. All you listeners, you can get this podcast on ForbesIndia.com or any other app that you use to download your podcasts. And to have someone call you for a Forbes India subscription, message Forbes to 51818.